We talk about him all the time. How much we loved watching him hit. There was we talk about must-see TV, must-hit bats watch. He was just riveting. One of the all-time great Phillies and just a great, great guy. Welcome to the program. The big piece, Ryan Howard. What do you say, brother? What's going on, man?
Hey, hey. How are you doing? Appreciate that intro. That was nice right there.
Nah,
all
man.
All true.
Like, it is. It, from the heart. From the heart. You were just a joy, a pleasure to watch, to be around. I mean, you were the consummate Philadelphia athlete. And my God, I mean, you were must-see. During that period, we were talking about the Phillies, this group being kind of akin to 07, 06 type of thing. Mm-hmm. Man, you guys would rake. It was crooked numbers. It was crooked numbers. It was the best, brother.
Oh, it was a lot of fun, man. We had a lot of fun doing it. It was great.
How was last weekend? And just
last week was amazing. I mean, it was great to be able to see a lot of the guys that you haven't seen in years. J.C. Romero, Chad Durbin, Clay Condry. Everything was first class last weekend, and I was really, really happy to see Jason Worth come through and the reception that he got from the fans, and just the whole experience was amazing.
When your mind goes back to then, what does it go back to?
I think it goes back to from the 08 season, or just those
during your years here, during those runs, man, those Red October playoff runs were amazing. And I just was curious where your mind usually goes back to.
It kind of hits a little bit of a highlight reel, if you will. I think it's a little bit of everything. You look at all the guys, look at my teammates, just the games, the runs, the confidence that we had playing, just enjoying playing, the fans, just everything about it. You know, once you got into October, it was pretty much go time. You know, you're playing against teams like LA, Milwaukee, the whole CC where Shane hits the grand slam. It's just, you kind of run it all back and look over it. You just look at how much fun we had and how much we enjoyed each other.
I loved when you, the classic moment, Colorado, you probably know what I'm going to say, but get me to the plate, boys. Like that, I still get chills when I think of that, Ryan.
Nah, that was one of those blackout, lock it in moments right there. I remember just kind of pacing up and down the dugout and just kind of seeing the situation unfold. You know, I think I was about five or six guys down in the lineup, just kind of watching this whole thing unfold and just knowing deep inside, I'm like, man, get me to the plate and we're going to win this game. You know, it was one of those things where I felt like, and I didn't really do that a whole lot. But it was one of those things where it's like, you get me to the plate, I'm going to hit a home run. And, the situation worked itself out to where I got there, got the pitch that I wanted to hit, got a little bit of top spin on it, hit it, off the wall. But was able to come through in that situation. And, it felt great. You know, the guys were like, they saw it. Like, I had that look in my eye, and they saw it, and they got me up there and got me a shot. So we were able to come through and win that game.
Ryan, this current Phillies team is a lot like you guys were, vying for first place at this time of the year, but it's vastly different. You've only been out of the game a couple years, but the turn towards analytics has really gone full circle. I just want to know, like, what's your thought on the game now? We had a guy on last week, a national guy, who said it's 4 minutes in a game where the ball doesn't go into play. Like, what do you think of today's game? Has it changed an awful lot, and is it for the better?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed. I think it's some parts, I think, yes, it has. And some parts, I think it kind of hurts the game a little bit. Obviously, when I came in the league, a lot of, the big numbers were, home runs, batting average, RBIs, you know, stuff like that. Now it's, you know, now it's about your on-base percentage. It's a, your batting average is now, you know, guys' batting averages are a lot lower, but if they're still being able to go and hit home runs or their on-base percentage is higher, I think that's more of where the focus on where the focus is, which I think will be interesting to see, you know, as things continue. I think with the shifts and whatnot, guys' batting averages are getting knocked down. You know, there's just a lot of different numbers that are kind of coming into play, and I think it's gonna. I think over time, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think they've kind of mentioned something or flirted with, you know, saying something about regulating shifts and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, of course they would do that now that I'm out of the game.
I know, right?
It all started with you,
but,
too.
Yeah. It's like, you know, but it's, but it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you look at a guy with the talent of like a Bryce Harper, and everybody has good years and bad years or up and down times. But it's like, you know, you look at a guy with the caliber of Bryce Harper and he's hitting like a 220, 225 or whatnot. And, you know, it happens. It's going to happen over a course of a career. You know, he's a guy who's going to be able to bounce back, and get up to Harper type numbers. But I think batting averages for the most part, from what I've seen are a little bit down and strikeouts now, you know, strikeouts on. Strikeouts aren't as frowned upon in this establishment as they used to be, you know. So
I remember people busting your chop and thinking all the home run and run production, that's what a power hitter is. A power is supposed to hit home runs and produce runs. You don't worry about strikeouts and putting the ball in play.
Well, I mean, that was always kind of my thing was, you know, a strikeout is an out. The same way, you know, just about as in the ground ball, you know, to the first baseman or second baseman or whatever, or pop fly or whatever. You know, it's just all about in the situation when you do it, right? You know, obviously you don't want to strike out with a runner on third less than two outs and not be able to get that runner home. But yeah, I mean, it's like now strikeouts aren't as frowned upon as they used to be, where I think it was, what, last year or was it earlier this year that, you know, they had more strikeouts than hits. I guess in the league or something like that.
Yeah,
this
year.
So yeah, I mean, I think there's good stuff for it in terms of the analytics, but I also think there's some bad stuff with it too.
Now I got to talk to you about what you're doing now because this is like I was thinking of you. I'm listening to you analyze the game, and I'm thinking, wow, man, you'd be incredible at the Fox and breaking stuff down. But you got bigger things that you're doing, and I love smart people, and you have hooked up with 76 Capital, our friend Wayne Kimmel, who is a local man who's done an incredible job as one of the great entrepreneurs of Philadelphia. And in fact, we got Wayne on the line right now. Good morning, Wayne.
Hey, good morning, Ann. How are you?
We're doing great. This is so cool that you guys have hooked up together, and you're doing a lot of really cool stuff with esports, and we do some esports on the station too. And Wayne, how about Ryan, who was even coaching his esports squad?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome what we've been able to do together. We got our guys down on Nerd Street down in Northern Liberties in Philly called Nerd Street Gamers, and we're focused on the future of esports, the whole amateur sector. And it's really exciting what we're doing around that world. And we're building camps and boot camps and tournaments all around the amateur esports player all across the country. And having Ryan as part of that with us has been amazing. Having him as a partner, as you said, a smart guy, a nice guy, a guy who really sees the future, wants to do really big things. That's what we're all about.
Ryan, what was it like coaching this stuff? I saw you talk to the kids playing the game, the guys playing the game. I mean, what's that whole thing like for you?
Oh, it was good, man. It was, you know, it just tried to give them some words of encouragement, you know, because it was new. It was new for those guys. It was new for them kind of being a team. And, you know, just wanted to kind of give them encouragement to understand that, hey, you know, you guys have to figure out a way to come together and gel. And, you know, it was the same thing as like playing. You know, if you're having one of those team only type meetings and whatnot, you know, you're you're trying to get it figured out so you can all move together in the right direction. So it was really cool to be able to watch those guys do what they do, as well as being able to kind of talk to them, you know, as a group and individually.
You were like Charlie. You played the role of We're talking to Ryan Howard and Wayne Kimmel, both of 76 Capital. And Wayne, how did you guys hook up? Because you guys are doing some incredible stuff with sports tech out in Silicon Valley. You're bringing Silicon Valley to Philadelphia, which is really, really cool.
Well, Ryan and I met through some mutual friends. And, you know, and what you were just talking about, I mean, it's all about same. It's very similar to be an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, as well as a successful athlete. You have to have that passion, that desire, that drive, that want to, if you get knocked down, you get right back up. And that's what we work with our entrepreneurs about. And there's certainly no one better to sort of have that conversation with our entrepreneurs than Ryan. I actually am out here in Silicon Valley right now for the Players Tech Summit. Later today, I'll be with Andre Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Jaylen Brown, Baron Davis, Joe Montana, Kerry Walsh Jennings. It's going to be an awesome day out here talking about athletes, thinking about what they're doing as entrepreneurs, as investors. You know, I was able to bring out Joe Asher. He's the CEO of William Hill, which is one of the top sports books in the country.
William Hill's in all the books in New Jersey, right, are using William Hill.
That's exactly right. Joe and I both grew up in Delaware together. And he's out here right now. He's one of the top guys in the whole sports betting industry, and he's going to talk to this summit that we have here that Bloomberg's putting on, and he's going to talk today really what's happening and what's next and what's all the incredible things that are happening around sports betting. I mean, as you guys know, just this past week you were able to bet sitting in your seat at MetLife Stadium, you know, during that Giants game. Crazy stuff's happening. It's going to come to the link very soon.
Ryan, what drew you to 76 Capital and the whole sports tech? Because I love the story of the athlete now is, all right, now what's next? We're not about blowing our money. We're about growing our money and our reach.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, what attracted me to 76, obviously, like Wayne said before, you know, meeting through a mutual friend and It was Wayne and our other partner, John, themselves, like being able to sit with those guys and, you know, meeting with some other folks as well. But, you know, I wanted to work with some really good, like-minded, genuine people. That was something that was very, very, important to me, is trying to work with genuine people, because it's hard to find genuine people out there, right? So being able to kind of get with these guys, have different meetings and just continue to talk and just kind of picking up their vibe, you know, their vibe to me was very, very genuine, and that was something that was very important to me. And we all just meshed and clicked, and we all had, you know, very like-minded goals and wanted to get out there and try and change the world. So that was kind of it for me in terms of being able to run with these guys, and it's been great ever since.
I admire that.
Oh, absolutely.
I admire that. I admire the mission. To like, because so many guys, they're you know, when they're done playing, they're kind of aimless, you know, what they want to do. And I love the fact that you have this burning desire to keep going and enact change. Mm-hmm. And there's so much good stuff. I know what Wayne's doing out there. It's just outrageous.
Oh, no. That's just it. You know, for me, it's like I knew as I was getting closer probably to the end of my career that, you know, I wanted to be able to get into something that, you know, I can transition to after baseball and life after baseball. And like you said, I think that there's a lot of athletes, probably not as much, you know, right now, because, you know, the times are changing, but you'd get to the end of your career and it was kind of like, okay, try to figure out what you want to do. And people would just kind of be spinning their wheels or whatnot. And not knowing what direction to go, but I knew kind of early on that, you know, I want to be able to transition into something seamlessly whenever I was done playing.
That's awesome. Ryan Howard, Wayne Kimmel with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Wayne, give us a snapshot at what you see next with sport. I mean, look, you're at the forefront of sports tech, so give us a little snippet on sports gambling and then on esports, which is really just blowing up.
Yeah, you hit on both things, Dan. I mean, both are really big today. So sports betting, we're looking at a $250 billion market that's just opening up in the regulated or the legal side of sports betting. I mean, it's really exciting to be in that right now. And, you know, and Ryan and I are investing in companies that are collecting data, that are analyzing the data. So the data analytics side of the business, the media side of the business, the broadcasting side. So, you know, like one of our companies is VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, that was started by Brent Musburger.
Yes, yeah, it's just awesome.
And it's based out in Las Vegas. We're going to move, bring that to the East Coast as well. But we're on Sirius every day on 204. And, you know, like after you're done listening to the morning show, you know, you can switch over. But no, it's really exciting, the stuff that we're doing. We're going to be on TV as well. And really sort of talking about, you know, becoming that CNBC of the sports betting industry. We're really excited to build that right now. And then you talk about esports. And I mean, it's incredible. You know, like they're selling out arenas all over the world. Kids are watching other kids play video games. The kind of passion and excitement that goes on. Just two weekends ago, the Philadelphia Fusion, our own team, run by, you know, Brian Roberts' son, Tucker Roberts, at, you know, at Comcast. And, you know, they sold out the Barclays Center two nights in a row. And I mean, the fans were going crazy in the seats. I mean, the owners of sports teams are like, oh my God, we, you know, it's almost like they finally are trying to figure out like how they can have passionate fans like we have at the Link, right? For the Eagles. But like, this is going on. We're watching kids play video games against each other. It's incredible. It's an incredible new world.
It is. I have an 8-year-old, as you know, and he watches these videos of all these kids playing games. Ryan, were you a gamer at all?
When I was younger, my son is the same way. He'll watch and stream, you know, these guys playing videos and he plays video games now. I don't play them as much anymore, but like when I was younger, yeah, because I used to get in trouble all the time for playing.
What was your go-to game?
I'm gonna be dating myself a little bit here.
Can't date yourself here, buddy. We're a lot older than you.
I was a big Contra fan.
Yeah.
Contra, like Double Dribble.
Yeah.
You know, games like that. So, those were kind of a couple of my go-to. Bases Loaded. Those were my games.
Isn't it nuts? Like, you think about it, and you're seeing these arenas. And I guess it started in Asia, where in Japan, they're selling out 40,000-seat arenas watching this stuff, and it's outright, it's unbelievable.
Oh, no, it is. I mean, Wayne and I actually went out to California and watched, you know, the Overwatch League, and when we walked in and saw, like, how many people, it was basically a sold-out arena, we were just like, wow, like, this is amazing. Like, this is really, really cool, and just to see where everything is kind of going from it, it's going to be impressive to really see what happens with it all.
That's so awesome. Wait, one more real quick. Tell us about the company where they're putting a chip in the basketball.
Yeah, so Ryan and I are investors in a company called Shot Tracker. And basically what happened, and last week on FS1, all week long, were the junior NBA championships. And Shot Tracker had a sensor on the players, sensor in the ball, sensors in the rafters, and basically we had live stats for the whole game, be able to track every single thing that was going on the court. Basically had a smart basketball court because of the technology that we have, and we've been able to put sensors in all the major basketballs, for whether it's Adidas ball, a Nike ball, Under Armour ball, Spalding, doesn't matter. We have sensors in all those balls that can track every single thing that goes on the court, and not only just one ball. So if teams like Kansas and Bill Self, you know, they use these balls all practice long. And immediately at the end of practice, he grabs his iPad and he can see how every single player has shot, how many turnovers they had in a scrimmage, you know, how many assists. Every single thing is tracked by these sensors. it's amazing what's possible today.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, that is.
That is so cool, man. That's an incredible, what an incredible tool. Like, I can imagine, I mean, that thing making its way, you know, through the NBA, down through college and high school, everywhere. It's such a wonderful tool.
Yeah, it's incredible. We invested in that with the LA Dodgers, with Magic Johnson. Klay Thompson's involved with us in that.
Wow.
And just really to be, you know, to be able to figure all this information out and have it real time. I mean, look, today, most coaches have managers who sit there with pads and they chart every single shot that goes on. That stuff, you don't have to do that anymore because just it's all done through the technology.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Hey, what's the website?
That's called Shot Tracker. Just shottracker.com is the website.
All right, and we go to 76 Capital, too, because I'm curious all the different companies, which are awesome. Hey, first of all, Wayne, thanks so much, brother. We really appreciate it, man. This is really, really cool. Really, really cool.
Great. You're welcome, and hey, thanks for having us both on. And you know, I want to congratulate Ryan as well. I'm out here on the West Coast. He's on the East Coast. He'll be with our partner John Powell tonight in Reading when he gets this Hall of Fame and gets inducted in the Hall of Fame. And you know, I'm so excited to have my partner getting in the Hall of Fame. It's pretty awesome.
How about that? How about that, man?
Thank you. I appreciate it.